Nerdzilla in review.
Sunday afternoon finds us once again at the cinema, about to watch Hellboy, which from all accounts is a soulless cash grab, but we'll reserve our judgment until we see it. Recently, Andrew, you have actually gone to see Shazam, which I haven't seen yet.
Billy Batson, I choose you as champion. Say my name so my powers may flow through you.
Say, okay, Shazam?
That's crazy, right?
What are your superpowers?
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
Sorry about your window.
Have a good night.
You're welcome for not getting robbed.
Oh, hey. What's up? I'm a superhero.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was fantastic. I took my son. It is a fun film. Take a kid, because the humour in it, there's potty humour, there's highbrow humour, there is a tribute to Tom Hanks's Big, which just had me doing a slow clap in the theatre going, well played, sir, well played, and I was the only one who did it. I looked around and went, none of you kids get this at all. I've been having trouble finding people who actually saw Tom Hanks's classic movie Big, which I found unreasonable because it's a classic. Look, Shazam is... What surprised me about it was it's a real morality tale about the importance of family and of about being true to yourself. And it was not in any preachy way, just in a really enjoyable way. It is heavily embedded in the DC universe, to be fair, mostly because Billy's stepbrother Freddy is a superhero nut. He runs superhero blogs and superhero Facebook pages and things like that. You know, he's got a bullet that was allegedly shot into Superman. With a certificate of authenticity, which is quite a funny story. So everybody in it is fantastic. Mark Strong just dials it up to 12 as Dr. Savannah. Just, I will chew every bit of scenery I can, but he's fearsomely scary.
That's a hard thing to pull off, to be over the top and yet to be genuinely frightening.
Oh, when he's got some family issues. Thaddeus Savannah has some really serious family issues because of a flashback that you see. But his origin story, unlike the comic books, is absolutely connected to the Rock of Eternity and to the wizard Shazam, which makes it a lot more interesting.
Because in the comics, Savannah is just your classic over-the-top genius supervillain.
Yeah, just pure mad scientist. In this movie, he has powers that in some way relate. They've almost mixed Black Adam and Savannah together, but he's also brutally evil and has absolutely no empathy with anybody else because his father gave him none. You know, he had no love as a kid. So look, it is well worth seeing, and it was much, much better than it deserved to be, and I'm glad of that.
A lot of kids in it, and kid acting can be very dicey. How were they?
Yeah, no, they were fine. They were absolutely perfect. And look, Zachary Levi does that, you know, that, like, I keep coming back to Tom Hanks's Big, to play an adult who's actually a kid. That effectively meant that Levy had to play a 14-year-old kid with a 14-year-old kid's mannerisms and reaction to things, and he does it really well. There's a lot of the time you'll be watching the film and you'll forget that he literally, as a 14-year-old, he's never bought a beer in his life, but he doesn't know how to do that. You know, Billy quickly realises he looks like a buffed bloke, you know, in his 20s, so he can go and do what he wants, but of course he doesn't know how. How do you go to a strip club and buy a beer and do all these things? And he explores that really well, and his relationship with the young actor that plays Freddy is also exceptionally good.
This is a movie clearly aimed at kids and families. How is the plot? Does it have enough to keep you interested as an adult?
Oh, it does. It does, absolutely. Because Billy goes on a journey. He basically goes off the rails. You know, I've got the powers of Superman crossed with a god. I can do whatever, and I'm in an adult body. And he literally goes off the rails. And he's busking, and he's boosting ATMs and all sorts of things because he's trying to, A, work out his powers. And that's very funny itself. Because, you know, Freddy helps him. And if you think you've seen it all in the trailers, you haven't seen the funniest bits. But it's also, oh, look, there is a mid-credit sequence and a post-credit sequence that are worth staying for, and they're not gratuitous.
And how about the effects? We've spoken a couple of times recently about the halo effect. There's so many zaps on the screen that you can't actually see what's going on.
Yeah, for a long time in the film, Billy only can fire the lightning bolts from his hands. He doesn't realise that he can fly or that he's bulletproof. Like, you have bullet immunity. That's so cool. But then, you know, Freddy's got this wonderful way of looking at the world. So, like, he says to Billy this thing to the effect of, so hang on, is the suit bulletproof or are you actually bulletproof? The only way to prove that is to shoot him in their face or something like that. So that's really, really well handled. But no, what ends up on screen looks really good.
And is it funny?
Yeah, it's laugh out loud funny. There are a lot of lols in this, unexpected times. There is a really, really... It handles the violence very well because, you know, there's killing. Savannah's a bit of an evil dude, but there's also a lot of people getting rescued. There's a whole subplot about bullying, which is really funny because if you're the kid who gets bullied at high school and then you get superpowers, you're going to have a little bit of revenge and you're going to be creative about it. But, yeah, it's good.
How many stars?
Oh, look, it's a four-star film, easily. Four and a half. You would happily spend 2 hours, and it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's just long enough to make you walk out with a smile on your face. In fact, I reckon probably for the potty mouth jokes, probably 4.5.
That was Shazam, which, according to Mr. Hogan and his son, is a really wonderful family film. We're about to go and see the reboot of Hellboy. Now, to my mind, this movie did not need rebooting. The first of the previous Hellboy films was really good, was a great introduction to the franchise. I don't know why they're doing this.
Yeah, look, I'll pay tribute here to Kevin Smith. On his Hollywood Babylon podcast, they have a section called No Thanks, We Already Got One. And this film fits smack bang into that because, firstly, I can't imagine anybody except for Ron Perlman actually being Hellboy. That just doesn't work in my head. But also, it's not really a franchise that you reboot. It's a lot like the RoboCop reboot that was a meh film that, it gave us Michael Keaton as a bad guy, so that's its reason for existing. But again, we came out of that and thought, why did they do it?
Yeah, it was a reasonably good film if you ignore the history of RoboCop, but it wasn't as good as the original.
In fact, to be quite honest, there's no reason why Ron Perlman isn't still doing Hellboy. He's absolutely...
Well, maybe because he's over 60 now.
So? Have you seen the guy? He is absolutely jacked. He's still Ron Perlman, 100%. Now, I was only a minor fan. I saw the original Hellboy. It was that sort of movie. I bought it on DVD. I have rarely, if ever, watched it since then.
I'm a huge fan of the comic. I think the comic is wonderful, and every serious comic lover adores Hellboy. So you really want it to be done well.
Well, it's such a unique concept. It is such a unique character that people have tried to copy and haven't got right. You know, you can't copy Hellboy. So this is a film where you're sort of on a tightrope because if they stuff this up, then it'll go down really badly. And it hasn't been critically well received so far.
No, we're looking at 1.5 stars in reviews in a few places. So, all right, Hellboy 2019, here we come.
Let's go.
If there is ever an end in this forever war, it will be because of you and your strong right hand.
Does it do anything special?
Yeah, it smashes things real good.
You made me a damn weapon.
I thought we were supposed to be fighting monsters, not working with them.
Who you calling monster, pal? You look in the mirror recently?
Joel, I'm a little conflicted because I enjoyed that. And I never thought I'd say this, David Harbour was a pretty good Hellboy.
Look, I'm in the same boat. It is not a good movie, but it's trashy fun. Ooh. And I think that's the thing. It's a really trashy movie. Like, there's a lot of trashy one-liners in it. Ooh. And a lot of stupid effects, and the gore is just way over the top in it.
Yeah, the body horror gore. And it couldn't seem to make up its mind tonally whether it was a horror comedy or whether it was a sort of the Thing style body horror, awful things happen to people, ripped apart and things, or whether it was just an action film, because it kept changing in tone every now and again. Mila Jovovich was really weird as the bad woman protagonist. Yes. Did you think she was just odd?
Yeah, she was trying to pull off a real nasty Wicked Witch vibe, and she just doesn't really have it in her.
She looked like she was channeling Cate Blanchett, Lord of the Rings. But not pulling it off.
She just doesn't have the acting chops to do that sort of thing. She's great when she's over the top, but she was over the top in what she was doing, but not in her acting and her presentation. She needed to chew a little more scenery to fit in with what was going on around them.
Yes, good point. Now, this film proves one of these immortal laws of cinema, Ian McShane makes anything better. And he does. And I did not realise he was in it. I totally, because it'd been so long since I've seen a trailer for it. So look, for him alone, well worth it. I thought the dialogue, there were times when they clearly wanted to shoehorn swearing into this, but it was oddly done. It was very uneven and peculiar.
It was like at some point in the crafting of it, they went, you know, we were making this for an M, but it's drifting towards an R. Let's just go hard as and go fully for the R, swear like crazy and be really nasty.
That's exactly right, which is literally what happened to Snakes on a Plane, where it was clearly made as a PG film and then just tacked on afterwards. Because I think you're right. A lot of the swearing was in odd places. And having
a lot of it was in voiceover, so it could be done later.
Exactly. And having it set in England and you know, the writers clearly weren't English because, you know what? Not all English people say bollocks and eat fish and chips. I mean, a lot, fair call, a lot, but not all. The one that had me going was like Daniel Day Kim. With the Britishest accent he could work up. It was like he's gone full-on Minder in that role. It was really quite... Because I've watched him since Lost, and he was on 24, and he was on Hawaii Five-0, which wasn't very good. And I kept... In fact, halfway through the film, I thought to myself, what if he's actually English and he's been putting on an American accent all along? And then I looked it up, and no, he was brought up in America.
I agree with you on David Harbour. I think he was great. He was doing his thing and doing it well, but he was acting against Mila Jovovich, and she just does not have his chops. I thought Sasha Lane, who plays Alice, was actually quite fun and quite good.
She was actually probably the only one who... her reactions to situations made sense, her odd upbringing and all of that sort of thing. She seemed very natural, and I thought was quite a good part of the film. The music was odd as well. It ranged from Wagner-esque classical pieces to heavy rock to, at one point I looked like, hang on, have I gone back in time to 1986 and watching Highlander?
I think they understand about when the Hellboy comic was created. And that soundtrack was aimed squarely at me and you, Hoags, at guys in their 40s who've been reading Mike Mignola for the last 25 years. Alice Cooper. Yeah. You know, what soundtrack has Alice Cooper in it these days?
I'm not unhappy with it either. This is not a criticism. They get a star for Alice Cooper. Absolutely. but yes, it was almost, again, tonally, even the music was odd, but I don't think I wasted 2 hours.
The overall look of it is that it was so effects heavy. There were so many effects in it that none of them was quite perfect. Hellboy himself looked quite good because he was a real effect. He was makeup. But a lot of the rest was just a little uncanny valley, a little, you are 93% of the way there to having it spot on, but you just haven't knocked off that last 7% of making it spot on. So a lot of the creatures didn't really look real. There were times when gravity wasn't working quite properly with things bouncing around. Yeah. It's just slightly trashy and unbelievable.
Oh, the weird bit, at one point I thought, hang on, have we been transported into Train Spotting with monsters? Because it's like everyone was Scottish all of a sudden for about half the film. You know, all the pig creatures and things. And this film was trying to borrow bits to remind you of other films, so you might think it's good. But it's not actually that good, but it was fun.
There's that moment when hell opens up and there's just about a minute of pure horror on the screen, pure visceral demons doing terrible things to people horror, which is just like, oh my Lord, you know. A lot of the rest of it is kind of comic-y, but, you know, there's just a few bits where you go, oh, that's gross.
Oh, yeah, and the gross bits popped up, at odd times. I keep using the word odd, but the gross bits pop up at odd times, like someone's looking at the cut of the film going, okay, it's been 20 minutes now we rip people's heads off and feed people's arms down their necks. It was almost like done by the numbers, but, you know, hey, that's all right.
It had the beats to me of a music clip. It was very much like they had to jam stuff in. There was a couple of times where they did big info dumps, and in fact they did one info dump at the start of the film, and then one of the characters repeated it for Hellboy's benefit later. Why did you have it at the start then?
Yeah, that's right. There was some very weird exposition, which makes you wonder about test audiences, and voiceovers invariably come from test audiences going, I didn't understand what was going on in this part. And so then you suddenly get a VO. And, you know, we've got Blade Runner proved that. That was one of the, you know.
And Blade Runner also proved that if done really, really well, then it's a great addition to the film. And I think this shows if it's done badly, it's just terrible.
Mm. So, look, you know, in the end, it's a film that clearly thinks it deserves a sequel. I mean, it absolutely thinks it does.
You got to stick around for the mid-credit and post-credit sequence. It does have both. Curse you, Marvel, for starting that trend. So we have to watch all the bloody credit sequences from now on.
Mm, yeah, and they're potentially relevant if indeed it does get a sequel. Now, I'm not sure whether it's made any money at all. That's a Netflix film. That's like a film that you can imagine a streaming service would make.
And yet, the sound is absolutely huge, and there's a huge amount of effects and fighting that make it actually quite fun. There's a bunch of places that are really fun.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I, to be quite honest, think that Hellboy as a property makes more sense as a limited series on something like Netflix. Wouldn't you love to see a 10-episode or a 12-episode to tell a really interesting story arc?
Well, in the comics, you often get these lovely bits of history and genuine mythology wrapped into it. That's what a lot of it's based on, is actual old folk tales and stuff. And to actually have some of that explained so you get a bit of the creepiness of the folk tale and the history, and then you get kind of the monster coming into it. But this is just monster, 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 monster.
Oh, monster, 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 monster. King Arthur? What the heck's going on? How do you shoehorn King Arthur into Hellboy?
I like that. I liked the way that ended up working and the relationship and everything. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it worked, but it was sort of like, again, by the numbers, someone's just gone, you know what this bit needs?
It's in England, so
King Bloody Arthur. Exactly. And King Arthur should say bollocks or something like that.
The one great thing I loved about that brief appearance of King Arthur is when he draws Excalibur, and it's a real close-up of the sword coming out, because the sword's very important. Mm. There's all these nicks and chunks out of the edge of the blade, like it's actually been used in battle. And yes, it's not a perfect shining thing. It's a plain English battle sword, and that's what it should look like.
It's also been stuck in a rock, which is going to damage the edge, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's not a very practical thing, and it's not a very valid form of government, as we well know.
I'm going to say, as a film, that is a 2-star film. It is a hot mess, but go and see it anyway. It's a laugh and fun and silly, and you will enjoy the action.
I'm going 2.5. Again, the half for Alice Cooper, but absolutely would love to hear what everybody else thinks about that, because that's one of these, you know, we said this about Venom. Are we actually seeing a return in some ways to Hollywood just making a film for fun?
B grade, and good B grade.
And I think we are, and I think it's because of places like the Sci-Fi Network with their Sharknado series. And
that's kind of D grade, isn't it?
Exactly, but they make money. And so, you know, Hollywood's saying, well, let's get some mid-level actors, let's get Ian McShane, because he's awesome, and put them in these films, and let's just not make people think too much, because I didn't think too much in that at all.